You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. With me in studio this morning, the Reverend Travis Scholl, managing editor of the Concordia Journal and author of Walking the Labyrinth, A Place to Pray and Seek God, and presenter at the Concordia Seminary Faith and Writing Workshop coming up July 26th through the 28th. Pastor Scholl, welcome back to His Time.
Good to be here, Andy. Thank you.
It's been probably a year.
I think almost probably exactly.
Well, welcome back. How did the workshop go last year?
Well, actually, last year was a little odd. We were ready to go end of July. And then at the last, within the last couple of weeks, we had almost half of the workshop for various reasons to cancel.
And
so we pushed it off for that year. The cool thing is a lot of the people who were signed up for last year are re-upping for this year. So it all comes out in the wash. But it was a really odd thing. We were all sort of talking about it, and there was no one thing. It was just, you know, somebody had a family issue come up, you know, just really
all weird. These life circumstances that come up, especially during the summer, it seems like when a lot of them hit. Well, glad that it's rescheduled for this year, July 26th through the 28th, Faith and Writing Workshop. What is a faith and writing workshop?
Well, we've done it, and Peter Mead, my co-presenter, and I have been doing it for, I think this is our ninth year. And what it is an opportunity for people of all skills, experience, the whole range from people who are just thinking about maybe they want to do some writing to people who've published before, to come together and talk about what means when that is a extension or a witness of their faith. Mm-hmm. And so what are all the connections between Christian faith and writing, and by extension, not just, creative writing, but creativity in general. How does God call us to use the ability to use language in interesting and creative ways? And obviously for us as Christians, in ways that embody the gospel.
What is what's unique about writing today? You know, there's so many platforms. Mm-hmm. There's print material. There's electronic communication.
Right.
What's unique about writing today?
Well, I think you're putting your finger right on it, and that is that as a lot of people have talked about, we are seeing the greatest revolution in communication since Gutenberg. And so the cool thing about that from a creative writing perspective is that gives us so many more ways to communicate, mm-hmm. so many more ways to use language in creative ways. And so with digital media, with social media, with all of these new opportunities, we are also seeing how that's changing language itself. So, you know, the way that a text message communicates language very differently from a print journal, for instance. And so there are some, you know, obviously there's some tensions there. There's some ways that we may be critical of what happens to language in those instances.
Sure.
But that does open up new possibilities, and that's exciting.
Well, and it's my understanding, you mentioned Gutenberg and the press, the printing press. It's my understanding that as Martin Luther translated the Bible into the German language, that also shaped and impacted the German language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, historians usually say that Martin Luther invented modern German. and you know, that spread, you know, once Luther translated the New Testament and then the Old Testament, that spread. So, you know, then you have the King James Version, the Authorized Version, that came along about 50 years later. And so, well, a little more than that. But that starts happening all over Europe. And the same thing happens. Mm-hmm. To the extent that the Bible is translated into the vernacular, it invents the so the King James Version essentially invents modern English, and you know, so it's interesting to see how Bible translation initiated all they were essentially acts of faith, mm-hmm. that had these creative results that went beyond just religion but culture and society.
Interesting how writing and literature in this, you know, in that case, translating has such an impact on language. Well, tell me a little bit about, we'll come back to the workshop here in just a second. Tell me a little bit about the Concordia Journal and your work with that.
Right. So that work continues and we continue to try to do new things and all sorts of stuff. One of the things we're doing, the summer issue that we're working on right now, is publishing essays from the multi-ethnic symposium that the seminary hosted in January. And so we're excited about that because we've never published the lectures or essays or sectionals from that particular symposium. And so we're excited to see how that's received and what sort of impact that will have. We're also gearing up, you know, 2017 is a big year for Lutherans.
Sure.
And so we're gearing up for what we're going to be doing for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. So that's exciting as well to see how all that's going to take shape. But we keep plugging away.
How would you describe your readers of the Concordia Journal?
Right. So there's three main audiences. Number one, the full clergy roster of the Missouri Synod receives the journal just by the fact that they are ordained into the ministerium. And both Concordia Journal and Fort Wayne's Concordia Theological Quarterly, they receive both of those publications, and that's just considered part of the continuing education of our ministerium. And then a number of theological libraries and seminaries all throughout the world receive the journal, including all of our partner churches. And that's very significant for us and for the faculty at the seminary that we continue to support our partner churches, particularly in the two-thirds world. So Africa, Asia, Latin America, they all receive the journal. And we do get reports from professors as they're coming back from teaching in places like Africa, that in a lot of cases, those seminaries, their library consists of the theological journals that they receive from Fort Wayne and St. Louis. And so that's not a small thing.
Sure.
And then thirdly, we do have a list of people who are not clergy in the Missouri Synod who just receive the journal because they want to. And so those are paid subscribers. But those would be probably the three main audiences. Almost 11,000.
When you hear stories from professors who have traveled abroad to teach and come back and share how the journal is being used, does that seem a little overwhelming at times when you go to this task, this daunting task of editing the journal?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I try to put that out of my mind for a little bit so I don't get overwhelmed. But you know, it does sort of raise the stakes in terms of thinking, you know, this is really a significant thing that we're doing, and especially when we think about, well, you know, American readers are now on Kindles and all that sort of thing. Then I have to stop myself and say, you know what? Internet access in Africa is not the same as it is in North America. And so that print resource is still a very significant thing that we do. It also reminds me that, you know, books are not dead. We still do open up those pages and stick our nose inside a book. For the one hand, very honoring, uplifting. But then on the other hand, you think, oh, okay. So, let's make sure we get that Oxford comma straight.
You're a fan of the Oxford
comma. I am a fan of the Oxford comma.
I am too. I just can't let go of it.
No.
Well, the Faith in Writing workshop that's coming up in July 26th through the 28th. How does this workshop impact writers? How does it, what type of writer might consider this workshop and how might it be useful to them?
Well, one of the things that always surprises Peter and I is how each time we've done the workshop, it's the full range of writers, from people who are just beginning to really experience. And to us, that's a really good thing. That makes for a really creative community, that these writers come together, and in most cases, they're encouraging each other. And so, of course, we have a full range of sort of tips and tools, arrows that we put in their quivers to do whatever it is they're coming to do. But it's that, I think, mutual encouragement that really, you know, they come out of it saying, I wasn't sure I could do this, and now I'm ready to go. And they come out with ideas, and they come out with feedback. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of writing on site, and then have some time to workshop that writing together. And so they begin to discover their own voice, what works for them, what they do well, and what they need to work on. And that encouragement that they receive is really, well, it's obviously inspiring for them, but for us as the presenters too, it's inspiring to see that happen.
Describe some of the writing that you've seen in the workshop, you know.
Well, that runs the whole gamut, too, from poems and hymns. We had actually Lisa Clark, who works mm-hmm. at Concordia Publishing House, wrote a hymn during the workshop, one of the in-class times, and then she workshopped. It was really cool to see that happen. To short stories, parables, to devotional writing. A lot of people come because they want to do devotional writing, which is, you know, classic example of faithful writing. And so it runs that whole gamut. And we always have a real good mix, too, of clergy and lay people who are there. So you have clergy who are wanting to sort of juice up their sermon writing, do something different, and they learn some new things there. And so it does run the whole gamut.
You and Peter Mead are presenting the workshop. Tell us a little bit about Peter Mead and what he brings to the workshop.
Right. So Peter Mead's a longtime editor and writer. He worked for a number of years at Creative Communications for mm-hmm. the parish here in town, and now is out on his own doing his own thing and doing a lot of creative stuff. And so in a lot of ways, I come at it more as from the sort of, I guess you could say, theoretical side of things, the poetic side of things. And he comes from the very practical side of things. So he's got a master's in communication. And so he'll talk a lot about engaging audience and doing all those things. So we do have sort of a salt and pepper thing going. We'll work off of each other. And that makes it really good, too, because I'll be the one who can kind of talk about in dreamy terms about creativity and all this stuff. And then he'll come in and say, here's 10 tips for writing.
Here's a very practical way.
Right. Yeah. So that'll bring it home. So we work off of each other really well.
Good. So it's a very engaging workshop. There's time for, you said, there's time for writing in the workshop mm-hmm. as well. It's mm-hmm. not just all talking, you know, it's not all lecture.
Oh, no,
there's
not
time
at all
for writing in the workshop.
Yeah, and we encourage people that if there's a specific project that they're working on or writing that they want to get feedback on, they can bring that with them and present it. But yeah, it is very much focused on doing the work. And so there's writing exercises each day. We actually always make a trip to the art museum, and we have a writing exercise that we do there in Forest Park, which is always a highlight. So
fun.
So we get out and about and
sure.
do all that.
Field trips included.
Exactly.
Now, for the person who enjoys writing, maybe wants to improve their writing, but suddenly all this middle school, elementary school fear of presenting a book report in front of the class starts coming back, and they start getting, you know, clammy and afraid of that they might have to present in front of the rest of class. Your words or your thoughts on that?
There is no need to be anxious. So it's all sort of self-directed. So people can present, get up in front of the class as much or as little as they want. So, and what we do find is people who are reticent at the beginning, by the end, are comfortable mm-hmm. enough around the circle of people, especially since we limit it to 15 people. And so we usually have between 10 and 15, and that smaller group makes it a much more comfortable, secure atmosphere for those who are reticent. And we will not punish anybody for using a double negative. So,
well, that's nice that you will not punish no one.
Right, yeah.
Wait, that doesn't sound right either.
No, well, you know.
For using a double negative.
Right, right. I think we brought back a lot of nightmares for people.
I think so.
Sixth grade English, yeah.
So, or,
and we do not diagram sentences.
I was going to say, or for a few grammar teachers who are listening.
Oh,
as
right,
well.
Right, right.
Some of my English instructors.
Right, right.
Oh, goodness. So the workshop coming up July 26th through the 28th at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Registration information available on the Concordia Seminary website, csl.edu.
Yep.
You can find information there. Go to resources and continuing education. You can find all the continuing ed opportunities, including the Faith and Writing workshop.
Yep.
Other things we need to know in terms of registration, preparing for this workshop.
Right. That can all be done online. And if people have specific questions they want to ask, they are more than welcome to email me at travis.scholl, S-C-H-O-L-L, at csl.edu.
Travis.scholl@csl.edu is the email address, and be happy to give some information on the upcoming workshop. Registration information again on the website. Fees, costs, that sort of thing. Housing.
Housing is all provided at the seminary, or they can stay off campus. There's a couple of hotels around, and that's and then there are meals that can be included in part of the registration as well.
All right. Very good. That's all on the seminary registration webpage as well. The Concordia Seminary event registration. You can find that again, csl.edu. Go to resources and continuing education. You'll find the Faith and Writing workshop there. It's bound to be a great workshop. You said limited to about 15 people.
Yeah,
so now's the time to register. If you haven't registered and you want to do that this year, coming up July 26th through the 28th. So it's a Tuesday through a Thursday.
Yep. Yeah, we do Tuesday to Thursday so that pastors in particular, if they don't want to have to do pulpit supply, can preach on both weekends before and after.
Just you want to have your sermon written beforehand, unless you're planning on writing it during the workshop.
Hey, come there and be ready to write a sermon. Sure, why not?
Might be a very creative sermon by the time you're done.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Well, thank you so much for sharing this information with us so that we can, those who are interested in writing can get some more education and experience in this Faith and Writing workshop.
Thrilled to do it. Thanks for having me.
The Reverend Travis Scholl, managing editor of the Concordia Journal, author of Walking the Labyrinth, A Place to Pray and Seek God. About the upcoming workshop, Faith and Writing workshop at Concordia Seminary. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily lectionary. You're listening to His Time.